Brueggemann says the Psalms have three categories. The orientation Psalms, that's the one on the up on the left, how we find a sense of order and stability in life. They are comforting, they are affirming Psalms. We think of Psalm 119, the previous Psalm. Great peace of those who love your law, nothing shall offend them. Your word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. I have set the Lord always before me, I won't be moved. They're orientation Psalms. And so that's the first sort. Then there are disorientation Psalms, that's down the bottom. Life happens. The wheels come off. There is chaos, suffering, lament, disappointment, tragedy, depression, ill health. Psalm 88 is an example of a disorientation psalm. My soul is full of trouble. You have put me in the deepest pit, in the darkest depths, and I call to you every day, Lord, help me. That's the second type of psalm, and the one that Jesus quoted on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? That's a disorientation psalm. And then thirdly, there's the new orientation psalms, reorientation, where there's a renewed understanding of God's presence. There is hope. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever, from Psalm 73. Just during the week, I had a Pakistani couple call me that they'd been granted residency. They were under threat of being deported, kicked out of the country. And I sat with them for 3 hours when they were appealing to the immigration department. And their appeal has been heard. There was jubilation. Praise the Lord. Sing praises to God, sing praises, sing praises to God, sing praises, for he is the king of all the earth. Give glory to his name. Psalm 47. So I want to ask you at the beginning, do you need to be reoriented? Where are you? You'll find the Psalms will help you sort yourself out. We need more of the religion of the Psalms. It's a great treasury. Just sit and go through and look at the Psalms, let them speak to you, to get God into focus and ourselves in our relationship with him. So, okay, Psalm 127 is a orientation psalm. It's like Psalm 121 that we had last week. I lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence comes my help. To give us a sense of order and stability in life. And they are called ascent psalms, a psalm of ascent of Solomon, sung by pilgrims on their way up to Jerusalem. And Psalm 127 is Psalm, the eighth psalm, the middle one of the 15. All right, right in the middle. And notice it's a song of Solomon, because Solomon built the temple in the city of Jerusalem. David established the city, and Solomon built the temple. And so, in the text, unless the Lord builds the house, unless the Lord watches over the city, then the house is the temple, the house of the Lord, and the city is Jerusalem. And so, it was the place, the temple, where people would come to find the presence of God, that God was with them in all his glory, where sacrifices were offered, where prayers were offered, where teaching was given to build up the people in their faith. And so it is a pilgrim psalm. It's to be sung on the way up the hill, ascending the hill to Jerusalem. On the way, maybe back from exile in Babylon, back to Zion and the temple being rebuilt, traveling home to experience the presence of God. It was the object of their pilgrimage. I remember when we were living in Lahore in Pakistan, a Muslim inquirer about Christianity asked me, he said, we Muslims think of Mecca. We go on pilgrimage to Mecca, the Hajj. It's been happening a few weeks ago. The Jews, they go on pilgrimage to Jerusalem. Okay, you Christians, where do you go on pilgrimage to? That was the question. Well, do we go to Rome, to the Vatican? Do we go to St. Paul's Cathedral in London? Or do we go to Westminster Abbey? No. Where do we go? We go to where Jesus is. We go to where Jesus is to be found. And whether it be in, as we gather this morning in church, or whether it be in our own prayers in the family, we go to where Jesus is. Jesus said that he is the temple. He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will build it up again. Come to me. I am God with us. I am the glorious presence of God, his infinite love and mercy and power and grace. I am the temple. Come to me. We sang it, that beautiful song at the beginning. Come, all you people, come rejoice. Come and discover the Lord and all his glory. So Jerusalem then represented, and the temple, a place of security, of his loving presence. And so we're on a journey. How are you travelling? How are you travelling on your journey? And of course, the journey includes meeting together as we do today. It includes, of course, the hope of glory, where we will be with Jesus and behold his glory forever. That lovely song, The Holy City, remember? Last night I lay asleeping, there came a dream so fair. I stood in old Jerusalem beside the temple there. But then in the third verse, the light of God, the holy city is our eternal home. The light of God was on its streets. No need of moon or stars by night or sun to shine by day. It was the new Jerusalem that would not pass away. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, sing, for the night is o'er. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna forevermore. We ought to get Lois to sing it sometime. Okay. I remember the spirit, the Negro spiritual. I've never been there, but I've been told the streets are paved with gold. Gonna make heaven my home. We're on that journey to glory. And so we're asked, how are we travelling? Do we have that vision of glory, of heaven? So this psalm is a pilgrim psalm for those on the journey to glory. Okay. Well, we'll say, notice it says, in vain that you rise up early and go to late, not late at rest. He gives his beloved sleep. And we remind us that, yes, the Lord loves us. And as we serve him, he doesn't want us to be sort of overburdened and anxious, but that he might give to us rest. We need to pace ourselves and allow time for the Lord to renew and refresh us as we continue on that journey. Right, I just lost my place in my notes here for a minute. So I find my, where I'm at. Yeah. Well, the next thing is, it's not only a pilgrim psalm, it's a wisdom psalm. It's a wisdom psalm, and the first point that it's making to us for living is trust in the Lord. And so we have those opening words. unless the Lord builds the house, those who labour build it in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. We're to trust in the Lord for what he is doing, not just what we want to happen. And I was impressed during the last couple of weeks driving past the Gabba, seeing this sign. Have you noticed it? It's been coming up on the big signs all around the city. There's a marketing campaign put on by the Brisbane Lions AFL club at the moment, and it's got this built on belief. And what it's saying is, become a member of the British Lions, the Brisbane Lions club. You will be an extension of the AFL team. When they win, you win. It's believe in the team. Believe in yourself, self-belief. The coach, the senior coach, Chris Fagan, said, "We have a belief that binds us together, the will to win, and the belief that we can. And every celebration, every time you put on the jersey, you feel you belong and you believe." And so it's really what's up here. I thank you for putting these banners up today. It's really the same message that the Brisbane Lions is saying. Come, believe, belong, and become. And so that's why we're here today. We're built on belief. This sign could be out the front. We're built on belief. We said it, I believe in God. Believe in Jesus. We believe in the Holy Spirit. It's that belief that undergirds our existence as a church and in which we grow. And so this is the message then of the writer, that we are not trusting in ourselves. We're trusting in God to do his work. We want his will, his approval, his wisdom. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean to your own understanding. Let me tell you a little way. We learned something about that when we were in Pakistan, in Islamabad. The church had been there for some years in a house. And in Islamabad, like Canberra, is a purpose-built city. Go back 70 years, it was just open fields, nothing there. And now we have a capital city there. And there was a need for a church. So they applied to the capital authority for a piece of land, and it was granted. But the Muslims in the city decided it wasn't a good idea, and they burnt the tents and they sent the workers running for their lives. And the capital authority said, "I'm sorry, it's not going to work. You won't be able to build there." "Well, can we have another piece of land?" "Yes, you can." And I should mention they'd had the Duke of Gloucester come out and have a groundbreaking ceremony. That was in 1988. In 1990, they had another block of land, and this time the Archbishop of Canterbury was out, Runcie. And they had a foundation stone laying, but while he was laying it, all the mosques' loudspeakers were heckling him all around the place. And eventually the authority said, "Look, we're very sorry about this, but it's not going to work. We need to take that block of land back." And so the church was very frustrated. What do we do? And they called out to God to help us. They felt disoriented, chaos, lament, like those psalms. And eventually the council said, "Well, we'll give you another block of land." And so they did. And they didn't have any ceremonies. They just got on and built it. And we arrived in the course of that building. And eventually it was opened. And so there's the church, and in a wall outside the church, there are three plaques And there's an explanatory park, the brass one down the bottom, which says, these three plaques were unveiled in different locations in Islamabad. Milestones in the eventful journey by which Almighty God enabled this church to be completed. And the irony of it all is, it was a bigger plot of land in a much better position. God is building his church. God has his way. And that's the message of this psalm. Unless God is building, let's look to him to show us the way, what he wants. So, trust in the Lord. He is building. He is doing his work. The second thing, and I want to move quickly on to, is that family life is important. Verses 3 to 5, celebrate the blessing of children. We keep on going. Family life is important. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame. And I use the alternative reading down in the margin, if you look carefully. And they speak, that is, the children speak with their enemies in the gate. Yes, family life is important. Family relationships. Building a family whose offspring become part of their security and support in old age. So just a few things about this. The children need love. I well remember when our children were young and hearing someone and words that stuck in our mind, let the children wallow independence. We think of a pig wallowing in the mud, you know, luxuriating in the mud. Let children feel lost and overwhelmed and in their dependence on their parents. And so parents, do it together. Set boundaries, work out policies together, support each other in sticking to them. Love your children. Be a good example. Teach them in the home. There's been this angst in Victoria over childcare centre workers abusing children in their care and this inquiry. We're reminded of the vulnerability of children and that parents, it's always the parents' prime responsibility to see that the children are cared for, are loved, and care to be taken in delegating the care of children to others. But then we want to see children develop to maturity, and so the children will be able to stand up to those who are enemies in the gate, able to have the courage to make their way as adults now in a hostile world. And isn't that our dream, to see young people come to maturity, not just dependent, but able to say no to the things that need to be rejected and yes to the things that are positive. Where there's so much confusion about truth, to find out what they believe and not get confused and overwhelmed by all the strange ideas, not to be distracted by things from the way of the Lord. And so that's the thing that we pray for. That's what this psalm is about. Finding our orientation. Finding the way as pilgrim people on the way up to the temple of God's eternal kingdom where we shall be with the Lord forever. It's about trusting in the Lord. Believe. Belong, become. That's why we're here. Our basis is our trust in the Lord, that the Lord is our strength and our guide. And so we pray that there will be young people, children, brought up in the fear of the Lord, strong in his grace and for his glory. Psalm 127. May the Lord bless us as we meditate on its message for us today. Amen.